Jamie and I with you on this January 2nd, first live show of 2026 for us here on The Green Zone. Hope you had a great New Year's Eve, partying it up like our next guest, Drew Romenda.
Now here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the clubs.
We're losing!
More guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
He's our NHL analyst, Drew Romenda, who on New Year's Eve popped about three or four Pepsis and then went to bed early, is my prediction.
We made it to midnight.
Hey!
Saskatoon time, midnight.
Oh.
So.
10 p.m. California
yeah.
time.
Yeah, it was 10:01. Yeah.
Well, you were working that day, in
yes,
all
it was.
Fairness.
Yeah, it was actually a lot of fun, actually. That game's... The Sharks and the Wild have played three games against each other, and they've all gone into overtime, and all the overtimes have been fun. It's, yeah, they do the regroup, but then it's a regroup attack, and then, so, yeah. So that was, as you know, I work like crazy on game day. I'm exhausted in my research and preparation, so I was pretty tired after that.
I was wondering if you were going to be able to make it through that with a straight face.
You're silent. I would have been, but you were silent there. So you're silent.
Well, I was just waiting for you to start laughing, and you did. So you didn't disappoint. We know each other well. of course, before his one goal, one assist performance, Macklin Celebrini found out he was one of the 25 players who will be representing Canada at the Olympics. No surprise to both of us. What's the biggest surprise, Drew, from the Canadian Olympic hockey roster, either on the team or off the team for you, Drew? What was the biggest surprise?
I think the biggest one for me was Anthony Cirelli, but I understand it. You know, when you look at Anthony Cirelli as a hockey player on the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you don't watch Tampa all the time, you don't kind of understand, well, Anthony Cirelli over Sam Bennett or Anthony Cirelli over Mark Scheifele, you start to wonder when you look at the stat line, just alone look at the stat line, you go, wait a second, why is that guy on the team? Well, because one, John Cooper's the coach and understands, and like Doug Armstrong, the general manager, said, we're not building an all-star team here. We're not picking an all-star team. We're picking a hockey team, a winning team. And Anthony Cirelli is truly one of the best penalty killers in the National Hockey League. And John Cooper is obviously advocated for him. John Cooper knows how important Anthony Cirelli is to the Tampa Bay Lightning and has been to the Tampa Bay Lightning throughout his career. So it surprised me, but I got it. I understood it. Other than that, I guess the two exceptions were Sam Bennett and Mark Scheifele. Mark Scheifele's got 20 goals already, and is, even though he's playing on a bad team, or a team that's playing bad. I shouldn't say bad team, a team that's playing bad. It surprised me that maybe Scheifele didn't get a nod. The other one was Sam Bennett. Now, Sam, you looked at the Four Nations, and I don't think he even scored in the Four Nations, or maybe he got 1 point in the five games. But he was and is the Conn Smythe winner from the playoffs last year. So that shocked me a little bit. But then again, Jamie, you and I have talked about this many, many times. Who are you taking out, right? I mean,
would it be Anthony Cirelli? Well, for me,
you know
my thoughts on Mark Stone after watching the Four Nations. I was like, I don't know about in the NHL. Okay, I know you have a lot of talk about checking and everything else, but
yeah,
I felt he was clearly behind, a step behind, half a step behind in the Four Nations, and I went, especially when Doug Armstrong was talking about big bodies and guys who can get to the nest. Like, Mark Scheifele is a pretty big body and has scored at a pretty fair clip for the Winnipeg Jets in a down year in Winnipeg. What has Mark Scheifele done to Hockey Canada? I don't understand it.
He's played twice in the World Championships, back in 2016 and 2017, 2 years in a row, and I think they've won gold both times. And the last number of years, he hasn't gotten world championships because he's played. Last year, they played to the second round, so there was no use doing it then. And then year before that, I think it was if I remember correctly, the year before that he was injured after the playoffs.
And there was the one year that he went to the Western Conference Final.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So I know that participation, Bill Guerin said this about Team USA, participation in the international competitions that aren't the Olympics is important, something that the organizations take seriously as far as Team Hockey Canada and Team USA take seriously. But I don't know. I agree with you on Shifley. I understand Stone. I like Stone better than you do as far as just what kind of player he is. And he is playing quite well for the Olympics. And I know the big body is something, and you're absolutely right that Shifley does have that big body. So I could be swayed in that direction. You got a big body in Wilson. You got a big body in when you look at, say, where McKinnon plays and that Hagel plays, and Cirelli's a big body. But yeah, it wouldn't have taken me a big leap to go with Shifley being in the team.
Drew Remenda, our NHL analyst here on the Green Zone. Of course, the other teams are announcing their rosters as well. Someone just texted in. Good segue, Trevor. Thankfully, the United States screwed up even worse with their omissions, is his opinion, as Jason Robertson, Cole Caulfield, Adam Fox, and Matthew Nyes among the biggest snubs for the American side. Drew, what did you think of that team, although it's still a pretty talented roster?
It's a very talented roster. I would go with the Robertson. I agree with you on Robertson. Other guys I look at and go, this is a big body team. This is a heavy team. This is a team that's tough to play for. Their defense are absolutely outstanding, and goaltending is I think the best in the tournament. So again, when I look at it, I understand what you're saying. You could put together in both countries now a great team that didn't make it. But when I look at it again, JT Miller would be the one guy that kind of stands out to me and go, really? Okay. Kyle Connor, Jack Eichel, Jake Guentzel, Jack Hughes, Keller, Larkin, Matthews, Miller.
Now, Matthew Nyes, for me, is one of my favorite players in the NHL right now.
How has he played this year?
Well, that was Toronto played this year.
Well, you're true. The other thing, too, on Adam Fox, go back to the winning goal against the USA in the final of the Four Nations. Where are you going, Adam? What are you doing? And not only that, though, hey, Austin, where are you going?
Austin Matthews. That was the one when we, after that game, we were like, Austin, Matt, what's happening here?
Maybe they're holding that against him. But, yeah, it's again, I understand this guy should be in or that guy shouldn't be in. But then again, I look and go, okay, well, who are you taking out? I look at what Billy Guerin's done here with this team, and I think he's tried to definitely build a team that he thinks would be it's got every guy's going to have their role to play. So I get it. I understand it. But I also understand that, yeah, I wouldn't have had Fox in there. I don't think Fox has played great this year. I think Adam Fox, when you look at him, to me, is when you look at their defense, I don't know who you take out of there on that position. But yeah, I think Matthew Nyes is a good argument. And Robert, pure sniper, terrific player and plays hard, pure sniper.
Yeah, Wyatt Johnston, Jason Robertson.
Yep.
Both in Dallas, yeah, having great years, left off both their teams.
I'm surprised they ignored Dallas like they did.
And the Edmonton Oilers are getting snubbed all over the place. No Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, no Zach Hyman, no Evan Bouchard for Canada. And Ekholm did not make Team Sweden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was surprised at that today when Mattias Ekholm was left off Sweden.
Slow. He's not the same defenseman. The injuries, I think, have caught up to him. The injuries that he has had and had to endure, especially last year, and I just think he's just, I don't think he is 100% at all, even close to it. And I think he's not quick. He's not a quick player anymore.
Maybe the Oilers should have picked up that contract of Philip Broberg, Drew.
Yeah, yeah. You think so? How's he been in St. Louis? Has he been good?
Yeah,
I haven't checked. They're beating the Knights right now, 3-1, by the way.
He's been dead. And who's in net? for the St. Louis Blues? Not Jordan Binnington.
Jordan Binnington. And that's been a theme for the last quite a while.
Drew Ament is with us here on the Green Zone. We'll park the Olympic discussion and look at some of the other headlines in the National Hockey League next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie with you here in the Green Zone. Locker will be back on Monday, and I won't be. I'm off next week as Locker and I are going back and forth. Eventually, I'm sure we'll be doing the show again together some point in the new year. Drew Ramenda is here right now. Well, let's shift our focus from the Olympics to the NHL play. What?
Sorry, I have to correct myself. And in fact, I'm not correcting myself. My son, Donovan, who's working on the CKOM today, I was right that Bennett did. He played three games and got one goal. But as Donovan called and reminded me on the break here, that remember the goal he got, Drew? And I went, oh, yeah, the tying goal against the USA in the finals. Yeah, he did a hell of a job in the neutral zone. He makes the check and then drives the net, gets it back, goes short side.
Did Marner make the pass on that?
Marner made the pass on that one. Yep, you're right.
And so, the McDavid goal, too.
Yep, like I told you, you should probably be interviewing those guys, Donovan Davis, instead of me. But anyway, so Donovan corrected me, and he's absolutely right. It was a big goal. So, and that's what Bennett does. That's why he's the Conn Smythe guy.
I feel like the last 2 weeks, all we've talked about, not all we've talked about, but we've mentioned the Jets a lot and their demise. Yep. Blew it last night against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep.
And how hot are this? It's a very patient franchise, though, so I don't know if there's ever a hot seat in Winnipeg. Is there? For the general manager or the head coach?
No, there certainly hasn't been, right? They've been very patient about that. And, you know, I look at, say, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and John Cooper just coached his 1,000th game last night against the Los Angeles Kings. And he is second most wins after coaching 1,000 games. Scotty Bowman, of course, number one. And remember when they were President's Trophy winners and then they lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets in the first round? John mm-hmm. Tortorella coached Columbus Blue Jackets. How many franchises, how many teams would have fired the coach right then and there, right? They didn't. They stayed with him. And then they went on to win two Stanley Cups after that. And he has been their coach for such a long time. So maybe it's that type of thinking. And, you know, I can't look at what Scott Arneal has done and give you really an educated why they're not playing better, because you're not in that room. You don't understand what is going on and some of the stuff they're dealing with. So, yeah, they're very patient. But you would have to think there will come a time where that patience, or maybe it's now, that patience is rather thin.
Let's go from the bottom to the top.
Yeah.
The Colorado Avalanche, wow, I'm going to say, not lulled us to sleep, wowed us to sleep on the Avs. Like, they are unbelievable. Only two regulation losses. They've only allowed 88 goals in 39 games. This isn't just them outscoring. They're stopping the puck as well as they're scoring with the puck. We are on the lookout for one of the most, if not the most impressive regular season in NHL history, Drew. And I don't think it's being talked enough about with what the Colorado Avalanche have done through the first half of this season.
Jamie, they're a plus 71 in goal differential. Plus 71. I think McKinnon's plus 48 or something like that. It's something ridiculous. And the last great season we saw, regular season great that we saw, was the Detroit Red Wings, where they won 72, but they didn't win the Stanley Cup that year. They are stopping the puck well. You know, when we go back and talk about the Olympics, as far as goaltenders go, I thought maybe Wedgwood might get a nod the way he's playing. But the way that the Colorado Avalanche are built right now, and you got to give credit to their management, when they made that trade with Rantanen and to Carolina and everything, how it ended up working out, and they get Marty Natchez, and Marty Natchez, how well does he fit in with that group? It's incredible. And I talked to Brent Burns when the Sharks were there, and he said, what's it like? And he went, it is business. He said, you walk into that room and it's business. Mackenzie Blackwood said the same thing. It's a It's a different vibe, he said, but the vibe is about, hey, we are doing something here. We're rolling. And if you're not on board, you're going to be brought on board real quick. So it's a very serious organization. It's a very serious coaching staff. It's a very serious group of players led by Nathan MacKinnon and how they approach the game. Same with Cale Makar. Not a lot of jocularity going on, but it's working.
By the way, Boston, of course, a couple of years ago had the record. After 39 games, the Boston Bruins had 66 points, 31-4-4. After 39 games, the Avs are 1 point better with 32-7 right now with the Colorado Avalanche. And it's why so many of their players are going to the Olympics, including Gabe Landeskog, who made Team Sweden, which was awesome to see.
Good to see. Yeah. What a great story.
Well,
great story.
Well, Drew, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for your time, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right. Next time, call Davis or Donovan.
Okay, we'll do. Just watching the final seconds tick away in the first quarter final of the World Junior Hockey Championship as Sweden puts a wrap on their quarterfinal 6-3 victory over Latvia, as now Latvia is starting a fight. That's nice. So Sweden beats Latvia 6-3, and coming up, it'll be Czechia against Switzerland. The winner of that one will play Sweden. And then 5 o'clock, the United States takes on Finland. That is number 2 U.S. in Group A against the third-ranked team from Group B, which is Finland, who were number 3 because Czechia finished 2nd in that pool. And, of course, 7:30 tonight, Canada takes on Slovakia. The winner of U.S. Finland will take on the winner of Canada. Slovakia. Our coverage begins tonight at 7 o'clock. Of course, the play-by-play voice you've been listening to on Boxing Day and New Year's Eve and now throughout the medal round is Matt Cullen, who has the call on these radio stations. He pops in with a preview of tonight's quarterfinal, but let's start with New Year's Eve. 4 goals in the first 4 shots. I don't think anybody saw that one coming, Matt.
Yeah, I guess expect the unexpected when it comes to this this tournament. 3 times Canada had the lead and 3 times Finland caught up, and that was all within the first 8 minutes of the hockey game. So probably one of them ones where the goaltenders would be looking at burning the tape, probably the coaches as well. Obviously a pretty exciting finish, though, in a game for the fans. And ultimately, Canada got it done. And to be honest, I don't think that having that type of adversity in the round robin is a bad thing. I think that Canada was pushed. They were pushed against Latvia going to overtime. They were pushed against Czechia. And what was a pretty wild affair there was, I think it was 4-4 after 2 periods. It was tied after 2 for sure. And then you have this game against Finland, which was definitely in the balance there for the first half of the hockey game. So sets up to be a pretty interesting quarterfinal here today.
Yeah, 7:30 tonight, quarterfinal. You'll hear it on these radio stations. Matt Cullen has the call. What do you think of this matchup against Slovakia in the quarterfinal? Of course, the quarterfinal the last 2 years has not gone well for this Canadian side.
That will be for sure in the back of every Canadian player's mind, particularly the 6 that are returning. But what they need to do is to try and put those bad demons behind them. This is not going to be an easy game. It's not the Czechs. So I suppose that's maybe a plus that you switch it up. You've beaten the Czechs already. You get another crack at another team. But Slovakia, for a 4th-place team in Group A, they're a very good team. 1 win, 3 losses. But all 3 losses against Sweden, against the U.S., and against Switzerland, they were all by 1 goal. In fact, against the U.S., they led for most of the game before eventually the Americans won 6-5. Sweden looks like a really good team. They're probably a gold medal favorite, I'd say, along with Canada at the moment, and they only lost 3-2. So if Canadian fans are putting their feet up at home thinking, yeah, we've got this, we're in the semifinal, I think today's going to be a really tight game. And in fact, the last time that these two teams met, it was in the quarterfinal in Halifax, where Connor Bedard went 1-on-4 against 4 Slovak defenders and had the overtime winner for a 4-3 win that day. I think it might be more along the those lines rather than the 9-1 win that we saw against Denmark the other day.
Well, yeah, Slovak, they played everybody very, very, very tight in the round robin. And sometimes these games comes down to goaltending, and it looks like Canada might be making a change there. Oh, what do you think of giving the net over to Ivan Kovač? Some people thought that maybe he should have been the goaltender one, despite Carter George's performance last year, but George's season this year maybe not as strong. And Ivan Kovač, is this the right move at the right time? If you're going to make it, I guess you better make it now.
Can you call me after the game and then we can decide if it's a move or not?
Yeah,
right. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's. I mean, that's the reason why you want to have two goaltenders and two returning goaltenders as well, because Ivan Kovač played last year at the World Juniors and played pretty well, even though Canada did lose against Latvia in the shootout. He stopped 7 of 8 shots. Can't win if your team doesn't score in a shootout. And then he's had great years as well. Actually called his games back in the OHL when he was with Mississauga and then in Brampton. And now he made the move into the NCAA this year, playing with the University of Michigan and the Wolverines. He's got great numbers there. It's a different game down there. Players are older. University of Michigan is also a great team as well, but he's 16-4 there, and his goals against and his save percentage are both in the upper echelon. So he's a great option, and he's also got one more year to go of World Junior eligibility. So he's a young goaltender. He's a promising goaltender. He's a Nashville Predators second-round pick, and he has way better numbers than George. He has a .963 save percentage from his game earlier against Latvia, and George has struggled. You take a look at the goaltending numbers. He was great last year. He was one of the top goaltenders at last year's World Juniors, but only has an .844 save percentage this year. And, you know, I was kind of wondering, calling the game, is, you know, it's 1-1, okay, 2-2, 3-3. Do you, 5-4, do you make a change at some point just to say, hey, listen, like, we need a couple of saves? But George was good in that third period. And assistant coach Gardner McDougall said that as well. You know, you need your goaltender to make the timely saves, the best saves in the biggest moment. And George did that. But if you look at his body of work from this tournament overall, he hasn't had great numbers. And I think that it looks like Ivan Kovač, he was the first goaltender off the ice at practice. That's usually a sign that he's the starter. He stopped 26 of 27 in the tournament. So it's a huge spot for the 18-year-old who... he's played great for Canada internationally at the World Juniors, the U18s, the Hlinka Gretzky's, but this is going to be by far the biggest start of his young career.
Matt Cullen joining us, play-by-play voice for the quarterfinal tonight, 7:30 start time here on 980 CJME at 650 CKOM. Last year, of course, there was a lot of pent-up frustration. They couldn't put the puck in the net, but with that first game against Czechia, the last game against Finland, the Denmark game outside of Latvia, I don't think that's a concern right now. How impressed have you been at the depth of scoring throughout the lineup for Canada and even off the blue line?
Yeah, that was the big problem last year, wasn't it? Canada just couldn't establish a sustained attack at the World Juniors, couldn't outscore their problems, and ultimately it was a devastating blow in the quarterfinals against the Czechs. But you're right, you're bang on this year. This is the team that's played very well. It's first in scoring efficiency, first in power play, and it's also got a good penalty kill as well. So that's also a big change for Canada. It was seventh last year at penalty kill. This year they're 8 of 9 killing penalties. And the power play, my goodness, 7 of 13, that's over 53%, basically 54%, they're scoring on the man advantage. So that's also a huge plus to have that kind of firepower on the power play. Like Zane Parekh, in terms of offensively, yes, he has made a couple of mistakes. He's taken a couple of penalties, but he's just such a dynamic player. We saw that assist, or listened to that assist, where he was basically behind his own net, fired a pass ahead to TJ Ginla, who scored on a breakaway. It was basically a 120-foot pass. He he's also has 8 points, and he's leading all defensemen in scoring in the tournament and tied for first with Canada points. So players like that are dynamic. Michael Mises also got his game turned around as well. Really like Gavin McKenna, Michael Hayes. You can go down the list. There's a lot of players that can score in this tournament, and it definitely has a different feel this year where Canada can find the back of the net when the going gets tough, and that might be the calling card here.
I know it's dangerous to start looking ahead past Slovakia, but what do you think of how the bracket has shuffled out here with, of course, Finland placing third, the United States second in Pool A, and the winner of that one is who Canada would have next if they get past Slovakia today.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. There's no easy teams at this point, starting with the quarterfinal against Slovakia. That's not, if you're looking for an easy 1-4 game, I just don't think that's not on the menu here for today. But yeah, looking forward, I mean, Sweden has looked really good. They won the group. They flashed with all 12 points, maximum points. They look really good. I think that they haven't done a lot of winning at this tournament, just with one gold medal in the last 44 years. They look primed and to be a really tough team to beat this year. So Sweden's one to keep an eye on if Canada does face them at some point down the road, semifinal or gold medal. The Americans, back-to-back champions, yes, they're a strong team. They're not as strong as past years, I feel. They were outclassed against Sweden, I thought, in that New Year's Eve game, and the Americans playing on home ice as well. And Americans see a bit of heroics just to get past the Slovaks, who were ahead, and eventually the Americans won 6-5. So I think that they're a team that might be a bit more vulnerable this year. They've got a tough game against Finland today. That'll be at 5:00. I think that Canadian fans should definitely keep an eye on that. If you have a spare moment here on this Friday afternoon into the evening, that's going to be a really tough game. I wouldn't be surprised if the United States goes home and sort of one of those quarterfinal crunchers that can maybe bounce the wrong way. And then the Czechs, I think the Czechs look really good. They're one of the stronger teams that they've sent in this tournament the last couple of years. And remember, Canada, it was 4-4 heading into the third period. This is by far an easy, breezy game. It ended up being 7-5. And I think that the Czechs, who've caused a lot of problems for Canada over the last couple of years, they could be back. They might be back. Maybe that's a semifinal or a gold medal game. We'll have to see how the seeding plays out.
What going into this now, the medal round, final one for him, Matt. What do you think of that? The makeup of this team, because to win the big one, to shake off the frustration, especially for the returnees from last year, to go into these do or die situations and come out on top. What are you seeing from leadership wise, character wise for Team Canada?
Yeah, we were talking about that amongst the crew doing the radio broadcast. And you know, you can't say it's just been passing with flying colors, right? Like, there's been some adversity. There's been some tough moments. But maybe when it comes to these one-game knockout situations, that's not a bad thing. And I think that they were tested against the Czechs. They were really tested against the Latvians. Obviously, Denmark, they didn't have as many problems with. But, against the Finns, they were tested again. So I think that that will force the team to look inside the dressing room to try and push everyone to find that next level. So, and I think what they've been able to do is they've been able to respond in those tough moments and get big goals, get big saves, convert on the power play, get a big penalty kill. So I think that that can go a long way. I think that beating Finland was obviously a really important part of this journey, because if they don't, okay, then you look at a harder quarterfinal matchup, you start to maybe doubt whether they have the confidence or not. So by far it hasn't been, you know, blow everybody out of the water, and it would be a massive upset if Slovakia wins, and it would be a massive upset if Slovakia does win today. But I think that Canada has done enough to fight through some adversity, and I think that that can go a long way in a tight game like tonight.
Well, Matt, enjoy the call tonight. And can't wait for it. 7:30 puck drop.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
That is Matt Cullen, play-by-play voice. You'll hear him tonight right here on these radio stations. Quarterfinal coverage begins at 7. Puck drop at 7:30. The World Junior Hockey Championships right here on your radio, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie with you here in the Green Zone on this Friday. All requests Friday, 1-877-332-8255 if you have a request here on the Green Zone. Coming up 4:35, I'm going to open up the fan line. We're going to talk about the biggest snubs for the Canadian Olympic team, although the United States had a few snubs today. As Jason Robertson, not on the American side. Over the last 3 years, Jason Robertson, I believe it's number two or three. I think it's number two in scoring out of Americans in the NHL. Not on the team. Cole Caulfield, Montreal Canadian, not on the team. Matthew Nyes, I know they have already a lot of grit and determination on that U.S. squad with the Tkachuks and JT Miller, et cetera, but I kind of like the way Matthew Nyes plays in Toronto. But as for the Canadian side, Sam Bennett is my biggest snub. Conn Smythe Award winner, as Donovan Remenda aptly pointed out to Drew and I in a commercial break, scored one of the biggest goals in that final against the Americans in the Four Nations. He's off the team. Some of you said Mark Scheifele. Some say Connor Bedard. Others going with the goaltenders, like Mackenzie Blackwood with the Colorado Avalanche and Scott Wedgwood, who are playing outstanding in net for Colorado, the best team in hockey. Who would be your number one snub from Team Canada?